Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The only thing better than grinding all night for your side hustle is your roommate picking you up with Mickey D's breakfast. The perfect pickup deal.
There's a deal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, taste breakfast perfection when you get a warm and savory sausage McMuffin with egg for just $2.50. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal.
Live by Live has all of your favorite music, and you can listen for free. Whether you hit play on one of our hundreds of curated music stations or create your own custom artist radio station, you'll find the music you love on Live by Live. Visit LiveXLive.com or search LiveXLive in the App Store or Google Play and listen for free now.
At Children's National Hospital, everything we do is just for kids. Our top-ranked specialists are here for kids of all ages, from babies who need help before they're even born to teens and young adults. Our pediatric experts work together to diagnose problems quickly and thoroughly and use treatments designed exclusively for growing children. With convenient locations all across the D.C. metro area, find a specialist today at childrensnational.org/stronger.
Hey, hey, hey. Hello, everyone out there. Today's Radical Musings episode is with the lovely and talented author, Molly Jong Fast. She's a wife, a mother, a badass writer. She's the editor-at-large at the Daily Beast and an esteemed political pundit. And I caught up with her on the same day as the last presidential debate of 2020. My anxiousness was at an all-time high, and so was hers. We spoke of the state of politics going into the election, COVID vaccines, juggling parenthood and work and marriage during this pandemic. Have a listen. I wanted to talk to you woman to woman and how you are navigating this in your sobriety, being a mother in the house with your animals, your husband, your marriage, and doing this. I just know it's been so incredibly challenging in my life. And I just want to know how you're doing this, Molly.
Hi. Well, thank you for having me. Those are great questions. It's crazy time. I mean, I think in some ways I feel like I'm doing a little bit better because I have an outlet, and I feel like I'm not as, I don't know. I just feel like I'm in a slightly better place because I can get to have my voice heard. And I think it's a very scary time.
Obviously we can talk about everything that you're working on in politics and everything, but I'm sure you're really bored with it in some ways, just to have a little break. Cause I'm thinking, okay, the debates are on tonight. You're actually doing this with me. Thank you so much.
No, of course.
Are your kids, did you feed them dinner? Are you like in here hiding out? And like, do you still have to do dinner with the kids? Like, what's happening tonight?
Well, so everybody, kids, we all have been, because of COVID, we've all been eating dinner at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that has been great because we're on the East Coast. So we had dinner at 5 o'clock, and then I was with my daughters playing this really cool game called iCivics on her laptop. And one of my sons is doing tutoring. I mean, so they're all sort of around, and we were sort of settled, and the dog, you know, I have all these dogs.
So how are you doing that? Changing? Everybody walks the dog? Are you all going as a family, walking and doing the outing, those walking the dog and getting out?
So at night, my husband and I will take the dogs out. But the dogs can't, because there are three dogs and they're all male. We have to sort of, so the two older dogs do better. And then the younger dog is separate because sometimes he gets kind of, it's just a little bit, it's too much for him. And he kind of gets mad at other dogs he sees on the street and tries to get into fights. But he's very adorable. And getting a dog, rescuing a dog during a pandemic is always a good idea.
Well, I noticed that that was so wonderful that you did. So yeah. You are a guinea pig for a vaccine?
Yeah, for the Pfizer trial.
How are you feeling?
Good. Yeah. I feel good. I mean, you know, I think this Pfizer vaccine is a very good vaccine. It's an mRNA vaccine, which is a very kind of new way to make vaccines. So
without mercury, like there's no mercury in there?
Well, they haven't had mercury for a long time in vaccines, but this is a kind. So most vaccines are DNA-based, and this is an RNA-based, so it's easier to make. It's faster. And it is less intrusive. I mean, the way it works is a little less intrusive. But it's also, you're not getting a vaccine. You're not getting a lot of vaccines give you a little bit of a dead virus or a virus that doesn't have any teeth. And this is not that. This is a totally separate thing. So
I'm worried. I mean, look, I don't want to take any vaccine unless it's really tested. So I'll be talking to you. But I mean, I know this could be controversial. My girlfriend got a flu shot last year and has Guillaume syndrome. Like she can't walk. Like something was wrong with that shot. So God, that scares me so much.
I mean, I think you're okay with vaccines. I really do. The mechanism, the way it works is pretty tested throughout time, you know, and they don't, you know, I think a lot of people's anxiety about vaccines is sort of anxiety about children and development and like a lot of things sort of got mixed up together. Yeah. There's no evidence in all of these things that there's vaccines connected to autism. You know, it's just, so I would say that I really think ultimately vaccines are really, really good. And there are a lot of really smart scientists working on a lot of vaccines. And there are going to be, I mean, I think what will happen is there are going to be a lot. There's probably going to be the Pfizer vaccine, I think will probably be the first one that'll probably come.
How often do you do it? Well, like what you just did.
You just have twice. Two shots, but a lot of them will be one shot, but you know, because it's had to be so quick, this two shot way is sort of, you get less the first time and then you get more the second time, which makes it better, sort of a little easier on your body. The shingles vaccine is like that too.
Which I got the shingles as soon as the Kavanaugh hearings ended, I got shingles.
Oh, wow.
It was like the next morning I woke up, the stress of like the Weinstein thing and then the Kavanaugh,
yeah.
It was too much. And I woke up with shingles. It was awful.
It's
and
awful.
I'd never had it. I'd never had anything like that. And so
yeah.
You do the vaccine for
I'm not old enough to do the vaccine, but I will.
Yeah.
And my father had shingles and it was a nightmare. I mean, it's just awful. The shingles vaccine is very, makes you a little sick.
Yeah.
But I still think that I would, I feel very confident in the science of vaccines. I really do.
I want to hear your side of the, always. I mean, I think that's is very important. And especially that you're giving yourself up to be an actual guinea pig for this vaccine,
yeah.
For humanity, for us.
Well, it's very, but you know, I mean, I would say just not to interrupt you, but medical trials are very safe, you know, especially in this country. And around this is one of these huge medical trials with, it was 30,000, it's now 47,000 people in the Pfizer alone. Mm. And then there's another, you know, 30 or 40,000 in Moderna. AstraZeneca has thousands and thousands. So there really is, I mean, I think we all are always a little bit, you know, I'm very into health food and healthy stuff. And I always have a little bit of anxiety, you know, I don't drink diet soda. I always have a lot of anxiety about chemicals and stuff. But I do feel really confident about stuff like this. And especially when we have this virus where it has all these terrible long-term side effects that we don't know the half of.
No.
We don't know, right? I mean, these long haulers and the, right? And these people with one of my friends is a doctor at Yale New Haven. He was telling me a story about how he had a young guy come in and he needs a heart transplant now. Like, so it's crazy. So that's why I feel like, you know, thank God we're living at a time when the science can catch up to the pandemic.
Do you think the doctors and stuff, like, was this a man-made thing that actually happened in labs, or do you think it really came from, you know,
I think it probably in
China? Like really? What?
I mean, I think they don't know yet, but I think probably it can, you know. There are other
AIDS thing. What the AIDS virus does to your body, which is break out everything, kill it all.
Right.
There's something like, were they messing with it? Something is weird here.
I mean, this is much better than HIV, because if it were as bad as HIV, we would not have a vaccine so soon. This is much closer to SARS. or to other coronaviruses. So in some ways, we're very lucky about this fact. I mean, that's the thing people don't talk about, which I wish they did, is that we're very lucky in some ways. Like, it hasn't mutated that much. It is a bloodborne disease, which is kind of shocking because we had all thought it was a respiratory disease. But there's a lot of extremely good, you know, we got lucky with this virus in a lot of ways. You know, it has, I mean, now the fatality rate was 18 or 19 or 22%. Now we're down to about 7%. That's not great, but it's certainly better than SARS, which had a much higher fatality rate. So there are certain, and you know, it's not Ebola. Like, it, and the other thing is we're getting a little better at treating it. Not great, but still a little better. And then the lack of mutation. I mean, the reason why the flu vaccine is so ineffective and why you can get the flu vaccine and then still get the flu is because the flu keeps mutating. So you'll have a flu vaccine and it'll be 30% effective or 40% effective. Whereas when you have this virus, you could have a vaccine that's very effective, 80, 90%.
And you talk about it, you talk about having gotten sober.
Yeah.
And has it been super challenging to stay in your zone and be sober with everything going on? Have you found that challenging for yourself?
You know, when it started, it was very challenging. Like when it started, I mean, it wasn't very, I mean, I've been sober since I was 19. So So I'm 42. So I've been sober 22 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I've had times, like I only had 2 years at 9/11. Right. So that was pretty scary. And I've had other times where like, it's been tricky, you know, there was a moment when it started where I thought, where I sort of got a little bit twitchy, but for the most part, it's been okay. It hasn't been so tough. And, you know, I go to a lot of meetings still. I go
Zoom
almost
meetings,
every day.
Like, I got to say
Zoom
that
meetings.
I like the, you know, the 12 steps myself, and on the other program. I like it. And
yeah,
I'll end there. And it's very helpful and healing. If you could sum up this moment of time right now in one word, what would it be?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, it's scary, right? There's the pandemic and like, would I love to be able to get on an airplane and go to LA? I have a niece I've never met, you know. Aww. I know my first niece or nephew ever. My brother had a daughter and I still haven't met her, and he and I are very close. And so that's, and he's in LA. Yeah.
You can do it. I actually had to go to Philadelphia. Just a tiny bit of canvassing, but I did a little movie for a few days, and it was Delta. You have to do Delta because they had it together. I had my mask. I had the shield over the mask. I had gloves. I might as well have been in a hazmat suit, which I didn't buy. And a friend of mine bought me a hazmat suit, and I was like, I said, I'm not going to. And then you just take all the stuff, hot shower, da da da, and I'm here and alive, and it worked out okay. And so you probably need to come visit. You might have to isolate a little bit, though.
That's the problem. The baby. So, but
if you
know, I
your whole thing and say I'm going to come to LA for a month and just do because everything's from Zoom now. You might be able
Maybe we'll get there. But it's been hard, but I do think it's fascinating. Like, it's a very interesting time too. And
are you writing more your other stuff, not just your? Because I mean, you grew up
yeah.
with your other writer. Do you,
yeah, you wrote- my mother's a writer. My grandfather was a writer too, and my father was a writer. I grew up with a lot of writers, and I still do. I'm working on a book too.
Good.
And
what I was wanting to know. Political or
a memoir, but a sort of like both. Yeah.
Yeah. So wait a minute, we're going to hear about like growing up.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit. I mean, that stuff is interesting. You don't want to get too, it's sort of how to sort of hit the right notes with it. You hear my dog in the background freaking. That's the puppy is freaking out. So I'll do that. And then it is this sort of, it's this interesting, there's one of my kids screaming at one of the dogs. it's this, it's an interesting time. I think it's like an amazing time to be alive in a certain way.
Yeah.
Darwin, can you please get the dogs to stop killing each other? So, it's very chaotic here all the time.
I know how you do what you do, Molly. Every day when I wake up, if you go like I follow you, and then it will be, we're fucked. And I'm going, oh my God, we're fucked. We're so fucked. It's just, that's kind of where I go. Like, it's like, you might be the thermometer of the day, you know?
And so, I mean, it's not, you know, I have these noise canceling headphones. I always think about like all these women who are these writers, like Shirley Jackson and people like that, who would, like, there's that story where she would drive to the drive to the end of the property and lock herself in her car and write.
Yeah.
And so I sort of feel like that. I mean, I put on the noise canceling headset and I just like pretend that nobody's there, and then kids come into my office all day long and like have complaints.
And they know mom's working.
They all come. Yeah. I mean, now, my mom, when I was a kid, my mom, it would be like, your mother's working. No one is allowed to come in. She, you know, I am working. Okay. And
terrifying. I wrote it when I was 15. And that must have just been pretty interesting, mama, to have.
It was, yes. But I sit down at the computer. Everyone is constantly coming in to tell me things. And then, like, the dogs and my husband and the Wi-Fi isn't working. And how can you fix this?
You're in charge of the Wi-Fi?
Yes.
Are you the captain of the ship, Molly?
The captain of the ship. So I'm always kind of, so people are always like coming to me to say, well, you know, da 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 da. And, but it's okay. I get stuff done and you know, I'm happy to get to do, I'm so thrilled to get to do it. It's such a pleasure to get to write. I mean, it's great.
So tonight with the debates, will the whole family watch together?
I don't know, because, you know, I have to, like, really watch, which means, like, people can't just monologue the entire time, which my kids will. So I have to see. But, yeah, I mean, I think it'll be – I think I'll try to get them to watch. I'll be curious. The muting is going to be really interesting.
And so I kind of can't wait. And we're all – actually, it's the first time I got – we're all literally popcorn, you know. I mean,
right?
This is what this is.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I feel the collective consciousness of all the anxiety they were all and PTSD and the fear, because we have never been here. Like,
yeah,
horrible times in America.
It's true.
Wars and Vietnam. But even like I talked about this today, like even the Bushes and the people that weren't, you know, Bush, and they respected the rule of law for the most
part. Yeah, for the most part.
I mean,
yeah.
But
you
were, like, we never saw the criminal justice system like this.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he's pretty messy. The thing that makes me feel a little better is that he's had the last week has just been such a disaster for him. And like this Leslie Stahl thing where he couldn't, I mean, he's having trouble pretending to be normal.
Right.
And the last time he was sort of able to pull it together for 3 weeks, and this time he seems completely unable to do that.
Maybe COVID did something to his brain?
Yeah, I mean, and also I don't know if he's still on the steroids, but he does still seem very jacked up. You can be on the steroids, you know, we don't really know. I mean, his doctors were not straight with us about what he's on.
All of those doctors, they weren't even real scientist doctors. Like, if we're dealing with COVID, they're like,
right.
Yeah,
and I mean, Trump's doctors don't have a particularly great track record, because you'll remember that Ronnie Jackson was Trump's doctor, and now he's running for Congress, and he's a total nut job. And yeah, so it's not a great, I wouldn't put much salt into what they say.
The new abnormal.
Yes.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Were you friends with Rick before?
Yes, I was. And you have to come on, by the way. We have to have you on.
Oh my God, I love it. How did this happen? How did this come together, the two of you?
So we've been friends for a long time, and I love him, even though he's very right-wing. I mean, he's not that right-wing, but he's right-wing.
Schmidt, too. Like, it's interesting because we're seeing these different sides of things. And like, I am full on, you know, never been a registered Republican and don't really have that many Republican friends. But like, I think like, I'd be friends with Steve Schmidt.
Right.
And Rick, you know?
Yeah. No, they're great. They're fun.
Genuinely do really like Joe Biden right now.
Yeah. No, Joe Biden is very much their candidate.
Who did you want before?
I mean, I don't know. I was sort of the mind that whoever the people picked would be okay, because that was the person who could win. I sort of like Joe Biden more because he was picked by South Carolina and by Representative Claiborne. You know, so there was this feeling like African American voters picked him.
Yeah.
He won that state. And then he went on to consolidate the primaries. So that was very exciting to me. And that made me feel like he was the right candidate for the time. I think had someone else been able to do that, I would have felt they were the right candidate for the time. But Rick and I were together, you know, because of the pandemic, we just started talking and we were, you know, he loves to travel and I love to travel and we couldn't travel. And so we basically had nothing to do. So I was like, let's just do this podcast. And that's how we started doing it.
You're recording your conversations with each other. It's so good. Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, he's in Tallahassee and I'm in New York and it works out. So yeah.
Fantastic.
Somebody has to live in Tallahassee.
And how, yeah, you guys are you doing it every week? Like, or
we do it three times a week.
Three times a week.
Oh yeah. God. So, but it's okay. It's really? A lot. It's, yeah. We do. There are 2 days of
taping. But you don't release them like that.
Yeah, we do. We, Monday, wait, we tape on Monday for Tuesday. Uh-huh. We tape on Thursday for Friday and Sunday.
Okay.
So Sunday is more of just like an interview usually. Yeah. And it's fun. We have a good time. We also have a really good producer who's really smart and who really like, if sort of gets us doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is really, you know, as you well know, is very helpful.
Molly, do you have hope for this? Are we going to be okay? I've been asking, are we going to be okay? If something happens and they steal this in the civil war they're trying to create, are we going to be refugees in another country? Because I don't know how to stay here like that.
I think it's very unlikely that that's going to happen. I think it's more likely that Trump is going to get defeated and lose. I think there's a much larger percentage.
I feel so scared and so anxious all the time from the energy. And I'm looking to people like you and the smart people telling us the real news. That's what I really appreciate, is because everything that he does, the gaslighting, is like the fake news. He started the whole fake news thing. He created the fake news.
I mean, I would say that it's, my thinking is that probably, I don't think you need to worry. I really don't. I really think Democrats won the midterm. There are a lot of really angry people out there who are not happy with the Trump presidency. I think ultimately it's going to be okay. But I know it's very stressful and I think we're all very stressed, you know, and I think that's kind of what's happening all around the world. And but you should know that ultimately there are a lot of people making sure that Trump can't cheat. And you see how the fact that he's so mad is because a lot of people aren't doing what he wants. Yeah. So I don't think you should be that worried. And remember, he's mad at the FBI.
He wants to get rid of them. He wants to get rid of the FBI.
Right. He wants to fire the head.
But he might even dismantle the whole FBI completely. That's what he's not just getting rid of Christopher Wray. They want to get rid of the FBI.
Trump does?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck. I mean, I don't think he's going to do it. That's the thing. What Trump, you know, if Trump had been really smart, mm-hmm. or really good at this, like if he had been like a Tucker Carlson, I would say like, But, you know, Trump is not so good at this. He's pretty undisciplined. He says a lot. I mean, on the 60 Minutes interview, he said, we're going to get rid of Obamacare. Like, it's a pandemic. You know, like, that's not a popular sentiment.
Right.
So I don't think he's real. You know, he's not. Last time he sort of was able to be more focused, and last time the media was totally unprepared for Hillary's emails. This time with the Hunter Biden stuff, they're much more skeptical. And
it's
you
all
see,
bullshit.
I mean,
it's all lies. They're just trying to
but they're
bad information that we're all getting, and it's a lot of people, stupid people, believe it.
Right, but they're much more skeptical this time. Like, you see that the media is not covering it the same incredulous way they did. And even, like, that Hunter Biden story it ended up in the New York Post, right?
Yeah.
Because people were so skeptical of it. And I think that, and, you know, Rudy Giuliani, the mastermind behind the campaign, has been tricked by Borat. So,
Sacha Baron Cohen, don't we just love him? And
he is
able to expose the sewage of this, you know, the people that live in the sewer of this country of the worst dregs of society that happen to be in power and bust them right open.
I mean, it's amazing. And I have to tell you, all my kids call Mike Pence Mike Penis now. Like, literally all my kids are like, you mean Michael Penis? So if nothing else, Sacha Baron Cohen has really done a great thing. So, yes, I won't. It's live, sweetie, so they hear you. My kids are all here.
This is fantastic.
Yeah. But I do think he's been amazing, and I can't wait to see that movie. It comes out tomorrow.
I know. So excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, I really love digging into the why and what motivates people. So what is Molly's why?
I mean, I want to have a more just society. You know, I don't want to have, I love it. Yeah. I don't want to live in a world where, you know, there are 8 million people in poverty, recently slipped below the poverty line, yeah, and children go to bed hungry. And, you know, I want to live in a more just world, and I want to destroy the legacy of the Koch brothers. And I mean, that's what, and I also want to, write and hold people, powerful people, accountable. And I don't think that happens unless you have a free media.
So do we hold this administration, the family, the Trump family, all these crimes, they've done so many unethical things that are corrupt.
Yeah.
Are we going to hold them accountable?
So I just had Gary Peters, who's this senator from Michigan, on the pod. And I said to him, like, there's so much corruption and crime. I mean, remember Scott Pruitt? Nobody even remembers Scott Pruitt.
Right.
And Scott Pruitt was just awful and so corrupt. And so I said, how are you going to hold these people accountable? Like, what are you going to do? And I think I think that the media is going to really have to push, and we're going to have to write pieces about this, that they are going to have some kind of reconciliation commission where we go after these people like Jared and Ivanka. I mean, where we unthread all the corruption and find out who's taken what. I mean, there are probably billions of dollars that have been mismanaged or stolen, and that I think it's the federal government's job to really find that money and bring it back, and to really make sure this never happens again. Because the truth is, you know, Nixon was an incredibly corrupt administration, and the fact that it was able to happen again, but worse with Trump, is a sign that we were really not doing something right.
Right.
Yeah.
He's done everything to discredit journalists.
Right.
There are so many incredible journalists, and are you all banding together? Do you have, like, you all know each other? Are you a tribe and sticking and doing, you know, do you have a code?
I mean, I think it's interesting that it's sort of, there's been so much good journalism, and there's kind of the golden age of journalism. So it's definitely, it's been, I'm thrilled to see so much good journalism. I mean, I feel particularly like connected to women journalists, especially women who have been really, you know, I just want to try to stand up for them just because I know how hard it is, you know.
Have you ever met Trump yourself?
No, I never met him, thankfully. I mean, I saw him on the street and stuff, but I'm very happy to have never met him. My mom met him a bunch of times. But
he came up to me in a restaurant, like, in New York, not, like, maybe 10 years ago, 8 years ago.
Oh, so recent.
Yeah. And I remember he came up and goes, "Hi, I'm Don." I was so creeped out. I was like, "I know you, and you're like what you did with the Central Park Five. You're a horrible dude. Get me out of here now."
Yeah, no, I mean he's really creepy, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with if any of them try to come back to New York or not.
Like the Kushners, I mean, they. Do you think they still have the 666 building? So probably.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, there was this. There's this huge billboard in Times Square of Jared and Ivanka and all the people who died of COVID. So I think it's, wow. I mean, Jared and Ivanka are very sort of in, they're sort of in this or very wealthy Orthodox community, which is not, which is very kind of quiet, and they are sort of, you don't ever see them, and they're very kind of insular. So maybe they'd be okay there, but they're certainly not going to go back to like normal New York life.
What do you think that Ivanka Trump had all these patents in China, and the things that she produced were voting machines?
Yeah.
Body bags and coffins.
Right.
Those
yeah.
creepy, weird things that happened before COVID. Like what was, that's like, how did you, why would you do that? That was.
I mean, I think she just applied for the patents. I don't know if they actually made them.
I think they, I thought they did. I thought they were coming. We should find that out, Mom.
We should find that out. That would be interesting.
Any of those that came from China are hurt and followed the money are
yeah.
Ivanka Trump's voting machines. We need to know that.
Yeah. I mean, I would say this. I think it's very, they're very rarely playing three-dimensional chess in that family. They're usually just sort of trying to keep up. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no great, I mean, there's no brilliant criminal mastermind there. They're really just kind of, they're just sort of trying to keep their heads above water.
And everybody's fired or leaving. And can we just talk about, where is Barr?
Well, you know, so I think that the Barr situation is sort of an interesting, because Trump had hoped that Barr would do all these investigations of his political adversaries, and he sort of hasn't, which I think is interesting. I think that's really, it's an interesting thing that Barr has not produced for Trump, nor has Christopher Wray, which is why he wants to fire them. But I think that's probably a pretty good sign.
That things are not going well in
for Trump, yeah. If that makes sense.
And Ivanka, I mean not Ivanka, Melania. What was your reaction when she ripped up the garden and turned it into this beautiful Jackie O cherry trees and gorgeous for years, and the rose garden, and she just looked like a horrible, ugly mausoleum. You know, like
yeah.
It was so, it literally was dead. And I thought, did they do this for a reason? I keep thinking that they're dug up and there's some crazy tech underneath the, you know, cables going into the White House, like really weird stuff. Why would they do that just, a month ago or a couple months ago? It just,
I mean,
it's weird.
I think they did it because she had, they wanted to be able to do more TV there. And I think she has terrible taste. I mean, she's just tacky. And so she found whoever the fanciest person was to help her with it. But I don't.
They should be ashamed of themselves, because I've never seen anything so boring and vapid and ugly,
yeah.
And empty and without soul and life and trees.
Yeah. I mean, I also think like it's just getting rid of Jackie O's stuff is never a popular move.
And those, I hope someone saved those cherry trees. I hope they didn't kill them and they just transplanted them, right? But I don't put it past them. They could just probably have just killed them.
Yeah, well, there's that story of like how they planted that French freedom tree in the White House, and then it died. So, I mean, it's kind of a metaphor.
So I was in D.C. a couple times last year for the protest, you know, for Fire Drill Fridays, and the environment got arrested, and was with my friends and Jane and my friend Catherine Keener, and we went to the White House one night, like just walked to the park, and the fences that are going around, and that's before all the protests. It's just like it's like a fortress. It's so awful that we used to be as Americans be able to visit and see the White House and imagine that they're having dinner and the president's there, and they're like, and it just turned into this ugly. And what is happening? There's no.
Yeah, I mean, he has built these very big walls around the White House because he's very scared of people. You know, he's very scared of people, which is this sort of interesting phenomenon. And
hiding in the bunker.
Yeah, he's, I mean, that's the good news about Trump is he's not very good at this, and he's very cowardly. So those are two very good things.
I've spent a lot of time just like going into the energy, like hating Donald, like hate this man, and I don't want to hate anyone. And then I was like thinking like, wow, like because I understand the nature of abuse and what the cycle is and what that does, like this really is the most damaged human, like his child, like he really is mentally, he's obviously a sociopath, but that childhood, his stepfather, it really did this to him. It did.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, his niece is a friend of mine, Mary, and I think that, I think the whole family is pathological, but I do think that he's much worse.
She became a therapist, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think he's much worse than everybody else, too. You know?
He knows he's very, very sick. But I always feel like what happened to you when you were a little boy to become that? You know, I always am very,
yeah.
I wonder what Mary thinks about that.
You should have her on the pod. She's
I'd
great.
Love to have her on the pod. What are you doing for yourself for balance, like outside of writing for you?
So I do, you know, I do a lot of stuff. I do a lot of, I do the Peloton. I do this, I do that. You know, I have my spare time, so I do it. I just watched Belgravia, which was like a wonderful escape. You know, I'm able to turn it off. I'm able to sort of stop. I'm not so, you know, I feel what's going on, but then I'm able to sort of go on, if that makes any sense.
Can you sleep? Do you sleep?
I sleep okay. Sometimes I sleep really well. Sometimes I try to very, you know, the more I can, you know, since I don't drink and I try not to have caffeine after about 1 o'clock and then I try to work out. So, and I don't, you know, I love sugar, so I have to be careful, but you know, I love, but
what is like chocolate or what's your favorite?
Like cupcake. I love frosting. Like okay. I'm an alcoholic, so I love sugar is still like, even though I'm sober a long time, sugar is still my like passion. So, I have to be a little bit careful and, you know, I'm very boring because I have to work so much. So when you have to work so much, you become very boring, you know, because you just want to like not buck yourself up for later. So you end up being very kind of like, this is what I need to do now, so I don't feel terrible tomorrow. And, which is good, but it's good to be boring. And I feel very, I mean, I have days that are
at all. Oh my gosh. I mean, you just feel maybe at home,
but you know what I mean? You don't have, I don't have an enormous, I don't have enormous ability to deviate from my schedule. So, which is good. I mean, I'm pretty happy, you know?
That's wonderful to hear that you're pretty happy. And you don't at all sound anxious. Anytime I hear you say we're fucked, I'm like, ah!
No, yeah, yeah. I mean, we are largely, but you know, I actually think that things are moving in a pretty good direction.
We need to save this planet, man. I mean, like,
yeah,
it's so terrible that he got us out of the Paris Agreement, and the rest of the world, including China, is the most polluted, and they're getting on board with it. We cannot not do this.
Yeah, the climate stuff is really scary.
We have the hurricanes and floods, and we're having, you know, hellacious fires. You know that he decided not to give any federal government help to California.
No, I know. He hates blue states. I mean, he doesn't – they seem not to understand that California pays more in than Kentucky.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And speaking of Kentucky, what are you thinking about Mitch McConnell? Are we still going to be stuck with him?
Yeah. I think it's very unlikely that, I mean, it's an R plus, it's the state that brought you Rand Paul. I'm sorry. It's not,
what
I mean.
What are they getting from them? Like, they're like, it's hot. What is he doing where they think that he's doing anything for them? I don't understand. Do you understand?
I think a lot of people are more racist than they are interested in anything else. And so that's how you get a Mitch McConnell, and that's how you get a Lindsey Graham. I mean, look, I think the big upset could be that Lindsey Graham could lose his seat, which would be a big deal.
That's great.
And yeah, I mean, that moment could happen.
It will be a definitely.
And it's worth, I mean, the thing is, even though it's worth giving money to Amy McGrath, I mean, at this point, you don't need to because she has a gazillion dollars. But with Amy McGrath, it's like the more that that Mitch has to defend his Senate seat, the better. So the more he has to take money away from other races to defend his own, the better. So even just keeping him on the run is good.
I want to understand how Mitch McConnell can have piles and piles and piles of things and just not deal with it at all and let it just, how is he getting away with this? Can you help me?
Well, this is an interesting thing because in a country like Brazil, right, where they have this very autocratic leader, you have, you know, he's not a great leader. He got, Bolsonaro got, COVID, and one of the, Bolsonaro's been able to, he's given a lot of money to people and done a lot of like relief bills. And so he has gotten, he has been able to stay in power. Mm. The smart money, and this Trump knows this, what's interesting here is Mitch McConnell doesn't want to do stimulus. He does not want to give people money, and he doesn't want to give the states money, and he doesn't want to, because that's who he is, man. His goal is to shrink the federal government to the side, you know, so he can drown it in a bathtub. So what's interesting here is that for Trump to win, the best thing Mitch McConnell could do is a huge stimulus package with checks coming to every man, woman, and child. Now, it's also what's going to need to happen no matter what, because otherwise we're not going to have a real recovery. And we saw this in 2008, like, and Larry Summers has said this, like, we need to have more stimulus in order to keep people out of poverty, those 8 million people who've slipped into poverty. What's interesting, I think, is that we, Mitch doesn't want to do it. Mitch is not going to do it. Now, I mean,
what happens? I mean, so people are in poverty. We're in a pandemic. It's supposed to be worse in the winter. We're coming into winter, and people are homeless, without jobs, without food. So of course, crime. Like, I'm sorry, if my kids were starving, I probably would steal a loaf of bread. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, how this is. So then we got these crazy new, you know, militia Nazi cops around. What, it's like they're setting something up. Like, what? They're creating more chaos to happen, which is what Steve Bannon said was going to happen. Remember? He said,
yeah,
chaos.
I mean, so if Democrats win the Senate and Democrats win the House and Democrats win the presidency, they'll pass a stimulus bill as soon as possible. And that's what has to happen. And until then, it's going to be a long 3 months, but there's nothing we can, I mean, Democrats have no, I mean, it's like with the Amy Comey Barrett thing. There's nothing they can do. Like, it's done. She's a conservative. She's pro, you know, she's more conservative than the Pope, right? She doesn't, you know, the gay marriage stuff. I mean, she is very conservative and she's very scary, but there's, Democrats are in a position where there's nothing they can do. So they just don't have the votes. You know, if they could get, the Republican Party is like, they are zombies and they will do anything that Mitch McConnell says. And so even though you think, or at least we used to think, that Susan Collins was a rational person, she's not. None of these people are rational. They've all become these kind of zombies who just do whatever the leadership tells them. Very good for passing things, not so good for democracy. I mean, if Democrats win the leadership, when they can do whatever they want, they can pass whatever they want. I mean, that's the good news, is that this can all change in January if people go ahead and vote.
Have you voted?
I haven't yet, but I will on Election Day. New York is weird.
You didn't get a ballot?
No.
I got it. I'm not going to the polls. Because I thought I always had an absentee a lot of the times because usually I'm away. So I get,
yeah.
But I brought it to the correct ballot box.
Oh, good. Yeah, not the sleazy.
So you'll go to the polls with your husband?
Yeah, I'll get up early and I'll bring my kids. That's what I do. That's what I did in 2016 too.
And they can see the process and know how their voices matter.
Yeah, I always try to bring my kids to vote because it's like an important thing.
Did you bring your kids, and it must have been really scary as a mom, to the whole, when Parkland students, you know, that happened in Parkland and we saw all these kids murdered, and then
yeah.
The uprising, this incredible, these kids galvanized, and Emma Gonzalez and David Hogg and all these amazing kids, and they really took their grief and turned it into the most extraordinary movement and activism for gun control.
Yeah.
What did you have conversations with your kids about that? Cause that was so scary as a mom, you know?
Yeah. It's really scary. And yeah, we did. And we've had a lot of talks about Black Lives Matter. I mean, there's been a lot of activism. I mean, the last 4 years have been marked by a lot of activism.
Did you go out at all?
It's been really interesting. Yeah, we did. We protested for both. Yeah.
Great.
So,
yeah. With COVID, and I have to say, Cuomo's done a great job, right, in New York?
Yeah, he has. And so far, so good. Yeah.
I mean, he really was hardcore about it, and everybody was angry, but friends of mine died. I had one.
Yeah.
The ambulance couldn't come, and then died and was left in the house, you know, with their 14-year-old son for 2 days.
Oh, Jesus. I've heard a lot of stories like that.
Like, oh God, please. Then, you know, taking the PPE from all our workers, our doctors, like we can't forget that one. That can't be.
Yeah.
There's something that needs to be done about that because that's so criminal.
Yeah. No, I agree.
What was the point? Just to kill people? That really was the point. Like, why are they keeping gloves and masks from doctors and hospitals? Like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it was really, the PPE stuff was terribly mismanaged, and they're going to have to go back and figure out exactly how this happened, you know?
Well, I know we're going to wrap up, and I just want, I want to leave on a light note. Do you have a plan if it was to go in a negative way?
You know, no. My plan is that it's going to be okay. And I think it's going to be okay. So, I really do.
So I'm so happy that is the way to go.
Yeah.
And thank you, Molly Jongfast.
I think you're
a wonderful, wonderful journalist. And I certainly read the Daily Beast a lot now.
Well, I can't wait for us to get to really see you when I come to LA.
Yes. I'll do a beautiful social distance.
Yes. Or maybe it'll be over and we'll just have a normal line.
That would be
great. Yeah.
But luck,
I would love that.
If I come to New York, I'll let you know.
Yeah, please. I would love it. All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, love. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Be sure to rate and review Radical Musings to help other listeners find the show. And subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast to be alerted every time we post a new episode. Radical Musings is brought to you by Audio Up, produced by Krista Liney and Carla Braun, edited by Jeremiah Zimmerman, production support provided by Ashley Ardent, Sam Winter, Tyler Dorson, Emma Rappold, and Richard Regal. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you all so much.
Hi, I've got a prescription for diabetes test strips. How much is the copay?
That could take me a while to calculate. In the meantime, you should think about over-the-counter ContourNext test strips. You get 35 for $19.99, and they're highly accurate. For full details, visit ContourNext.com/radio.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's.
Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.